Yeah, funny mid-game, my coach started kind of yelling at me. He's like, "Randy, Randall," or I was like, "Yeah, what's up?" I thought he was like asking me to get like a clipboard or water bottle for him. He's like, "Get in there." I was like, "Me? Really?"
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, my job is to track down the best keepers in our sport, interview them, and find out what makes them so great. What are the drills that they do? What are the stories that they've learned, the lessons that they've learned along the way, the stories they can tell us, even the mindsets that they have. And hopefully with each episode, you learn a thing or two that you can incorporate into your own lacrosse goalie game. My guest on the show this week, Bobby Moe, that's Robert Morris University. Starting goalie Nate Randall earned the starting job in his freshman season last year, so he'll be heading into his sophomore season. He comes from Beverly Hills, Michigan, out of Brother Rice High School. We've been on fire with the Michigan goalies, thanks to an intern, also a Michigan intern, Nate. Nate, summer Lax Goalie Rat intern, Nate Anderer. Thank you for setting this up, Nate. And you're going to have a great chat with Nate Randall. Find out what makes him tick. Find out about his first season starting as a freshman in a D1 program. I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. It's sophomore goalie Nate Randall. Last week, we wrapped up the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 7. And if you missed it, I got to say this. It was electrifying. 5 days of nonstop content about every corner of the lacrosse goalie universe. We covered things like the proper save techniques for more consistency, building that bulletproof mindset and that mental game, simple hacks to win games, recruiting tips to get into a great college. We talked about school and life balance. We talked about how to communicate with your defenders. We talked about awesome tips and drills to help you clear the ball, and drills. We covered so many drills and really everything in between. A lot of lacrosse goalie moms and dads said this. This was from Heather Hagen. She said, "My 2027 son, Jace, is participating in the summit, and wow, just wow. The amount of info slash knowledge him and I have gained is incredible. Every goalie should go through this." 100% agree, Heather and Jace. That's exactly why I brought 20 of the best goalie coaches in the world together for this amazing event. If you missed out on it, you can still grab the VIP pass, laxgoalierat.com/VIP. That gives you lifetime access to all of the videos. You've got a slim window of opportunity to grab that VIP pass. It's going to go up in price soon. Here's what one goalie mom told me over the weekend. She said, "My daughter, 2025, was away at camp during the summit, so I purchased the VIP pass, and she's watching the sessions now that she's back in town. Just wanted to let you know how incredibly helpful all these sessions have been to me as a parent, and I know they will be even more valuable to her in the goal." She's starting with the summer tournament prep video, getting ready for her tourney this weekend in Chattanooga. That was Tim Cassie. He did a tips for summer tournaments for goalies and parents. Amazing session. You can download all those videos if you get the VIP pass. Watch them on the car. Watch them on the plane ride. It's awesome stuff. Once again, grab that VIP pass, available for a limited time. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. I guarantee you the best value you're going to get for lacrosse goalie coaching. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome to the show, Nate Randall, attends Robert Morris University. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Damon. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, first of all, I got to give a shout out to my intern, Nate, who hooked it up, hooked up this interview and set us up. So big shout out, Nate. He's crushing it. Lax Goalie Rat summer intern. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Nate, I'd love to hear the story of when you first jumped into goal. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. I grew up playing baseball all my life, and around fifth grade or so, I kind of wanted to make the switch over lacrosse because I had a few friends playing. So I did a camp, played a tech, didn't really like it. And then the next year, I just wanted to try out goalie because why not? And kind of loved it and just kind of fell in love with the position from there. I just really liked it for some reason. It wasn't that kind of situation where my brother wanted to shoot on me or didn't like running. I just weirdly loved goalie. So I want to try it out, and worked out pretty well. So yeah.
Yeah. But what did you love about it? Just the feeling of making saves, huh?
I was a catcher in baseball. So I was kind of used to just stopping the ball. And I just love the adrenaline of just kind of making a big save and getting hit by the ball. And I don't know.
Yeah. And you're already used to things as a baseball catcher. You're already used to things sort of coming at you and blocking things with your body.
Exactly. I love doing that. So exactly. Yeah. I found the right position for that.
Yeah. Now, are there things that you learned as a baseball catcher that you think directly helped you as a lacrosse goalie? I mean, besides just the fact of like a projectile coming your way, but other things?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the main thing I learned was just not being afraid of the ball, not closing my eyes. But I feel like kind of the body movements in a way, kind of more of a lateral step. I feel like I play more of less of 45 degree step and more of kind of lateral step. And I kind of, for catchers, if you're kind of sliding to the right to make a bad foul ball or pitch or whatever, it's kind of the same kind of movement, just getting your body behind the ball or whatever it can be. Obviously you want to get it with your glove or, you know, your stick for lacrosse, but if you can't, use your chest, use your legs, get whatever you can just to get a piece of the ball. And
yeah. So just those movements of like the hips of kind of like exploding over. I get it. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, and hand movements too. Yeah. I wasn't too good of a catcher. I mean, I played up until fifth grade, so
yeah.
I wouldn't take my advice for that, but still correlates.
Yeah. It's interesting because I grew up playing baseball as well. I never played lacrosse until college. And so I always think about the things that baseball taught me. And I played infield. And I actually think in many ways, being an infielder it helps you more as a lacrosse goalie because like you're it's more reactionary, I think. Like as a catcher, you kind of know like, all right, here comes a curveball, right? And you know what's coming. And if the curveball's low and to the outside, like, yeah, you need to get over there and block it, but you still know what's coming. As an infielder, you don't, right? You don't know where it's going to go. And so you are in a pure react mode.
Exactly. Yeah. I never really thought about that. Kind of. Yeah.
Well, that's what I do. I think about those things all day, Nate.
Right.
That's funny. So, all right. So you switch over to lacrosse because your friends are playing. You love it. You love the position. How did you go about then at that young age, fifth grade, learning how to make saves?
It was pretty difficult because I never really had a goalie coach growing up. So I really just kind of learned. I tried to be like a sponge and just learn from as many people possible. And I'd hopped in goal. We didn't really have a goalie, and I would just get as many reps as possible. I think that was kind of the most important thing, was just making sure I was getting a lot of reps. And I was watching kind of some like MLL guys at the time, just watching them play and just kind of mimicking their movements, and even college too, just watching whoever I could just to kind of figure out how to pretty much play the position. Cause I mean, I had a few guys taught me, didn't really know much about the position. I've never played before, but kind of told me the basics, but kind of the rest from that, I was just kind of had to figure out all myself. And once I kind of became a full-time goalie, I played mid-year goalie fifth grade, full-time around sixth grade. But once I became a full-time goalie, I just kind of learned from myself and just learned from whatever I could just to learn the position.
Yeah. Who are some of those goalies that you watched, that you learned from? Do you remember?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, John Galloway, Kyle Bernlohr. There's only some like ones I can remember. I wasn't really one in particular that I kind of focused on like too much. I feel like I kind of just watched whoever I could, or whatever kind of highlights were on YouTube. There wasn't much back then, but whoever was out there, I just kind of watch and learn the game from them. But mainly, yeah, all the MLO guys, college guys, even, you know, high school growing up, watching whoever was in cage when I was little. I don't really remember who it was, but whoever it would be, just trying to learn little bits from everyone.
Yeah. Now you mentioned you're from Michigan. You grew up in Michigan. Yeah. What Like what part of Michigan, what colleges are in the area? Is it University of Michigan?
Yeah, I'm from like right outside Detroit, about a half hour east of it, northeast. And University of Michigan is about 45 minutes from me. That's probably the Detroit Mercy, other D1 team that's in Michigan, is about 20 minutes from me. So I'm kind of in the southeastern corner where, two D1 schools are.
So if you happened to go to a University of Michigan game in 2003, you would have saw me play.
Really?
Against the University of Michigan. This is back when they're in the MCLA.
Okay.
And I stunk it up. So that would not have encouraged you to be a great goalie.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That was right when I was born. So don't think I would have caught that one.
Right as you're being born. Maybe that was it, man. Yep. Then I passed the goalie throne on to you, Nate.
Exactly. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Right, there you go. That's cool. So no camps. No, did you ever, like at what point did you first attend a camp, or at what point did you first get the coaching?
Yeah. I think the first time I picked up or the goalie stick was a camp. That was like the first time I ever played. That's how I learned the position kind of, but there were a few camps kind of when I was little. It was the team I played for back then was called Michigan Warrior. It was like a feeder team for a high school, like fifth grade through eighth grade. They had like an annual camp that I would attend that pretty much every summer. That's really about it though. There's not too much going on around here. I mean, lacrosse is, over the last few years, it's kind of exponentially grown a lot, but when I was just starting, there was not much going on. So, I mean, that was kind of a big challenge being around from here, is finding kind of stuff to go to. And that was always, my mom and I were always searching for stuff to go to. There's just not much. We could pretty much go to wherever we could, but we would try and find stuff, but there's not much around. But I'm trying to go as much stuff as possible.
It's grown quite a bit.
It really has.
I imagine in that area and in a lot of areas, it's grown quite a bit. Which is great. Great for the sport.
Yep. Yeah, it is. I mean, back when I was growing up, it was just where I went to school, Brother Rice. We were just pretty much the only decent team in the state of Michigan. I mean, we would win almost every year, but now there's like four or five other teams that are competing. I mean, we just lost the state championship this year. So, I mean, it really goes to show how much other talent there is kind of growing up. But kind of wish I had that when I was little.
Yeah. Well, you want a handful of state championships, I imagine then, huh?
Yeah. Just one for me, actually. Cause a COVID junior year, we didn't get to have a season, and then sophomore, freshman year, we didn't really have any freshmen and sophomores in varsity. So
yeah,
just one for me, but yeah, at least I got one.
One more than I got in any sport.
Right. Can't complain about that.
That's right. What, talking about like your goalie game, you know, how do you, a lot of different styles, a lot of goalies can have success with different styles. How do you describe, you know, the way you play in terms of your stance, your arc, your hand positioning? How would you describe it?
I don't think there's any certain way to describe it, but I would say kind of more reactionary. I guess if there's one word I could put into it, is I just try and pretty much, I kind of have a wider stance, I would like to say, than most goalies, because I like to feel like I'm more explosive at that angle or at that, whatever, that squat. I just feel like I can kind of drive myself to the ball more. I feel like I'm better at low shots when I'm kind of squatted more, but I don't really step, as I mentioned earlier, as much in a 45 degree angle. I kind of grew up being taught that. People were like, oh, step at a 45 degree angle, it cuts off the angle. But I just really found that when a ball is going fast, it's not about kind of fundamentals. And I think it's just kind of getting to the way that is most natural to you, which is kind of the lateral movement. I'd say I move more kind of laterally to the ball. And I just really try and use my body a lot too. I kind of flop on low shots, try and use my legs, use whatever I can to kind of get to that. And then for my arc play, I think I kind of play a lower arc than most goalies. Growing up, I kind of used to play a higher arc because I was a pretty small goalie. I'd kind of come out of the crease and try and minimize angles for shooters to shoot at inside shots. But then I kind of quickly realized all you got to do, it just pump and finish around me once shooters got better. So I kind of started to play more of a lower angle, and I feel like I just kind of had more time to react and more of my body kind of took up the net. And I just feel like that kind of helped me out more in the long run. So yeah, that's kind of how I describe all my different styles of play.
Yeah. Love it. I saw one picture and I don't know if it was just like, you know, you were moving around in your stance, mm-hmm. but your top hand was pretty high.
Oh yeah.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I kind of recently, all my life, I've been kind of changing where my hand placement was, but when I was younger, I was a little lower. Probably still higher than most goalies, but yeah, as kind of late high school, college kind of progressed, I kind of found that was just the most comfortable position for me. Like it, mm-hmm. I just felt, I don't know what it was. It just felt more natural to me. Every single time I would try and I had coaches told me like, oh, put your hand a little lower, but it didn't feel right. I think I felt more explosive to the ball. Maybe partially it could have been how low my stance was and maybe just to take up ground for that. But yeah, that's just kind of, I try and kind of keep my thumb to my eye ish, mm-hmm. maybe a little higher. I just, yeah, it's the most natural position for me. And as I got, you know, progressed more in my years, I just kind of figured out, it's not about having the most perfect fundamentals, like, you know, keeping your hand at perfect placement and, you know, not squatting too low or whatnot. I just kind of figured out that was the most, you know, natural position for me. So I think that's kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah. In a lot of ways, it reminds me of Mike Adler, who just graduated, right? Mm-hmm. Cause he's got that like athletic crouch, but yet the hands are still kind of hot, like up at the, right at the thumbs, right at eye level.
Yeah.
But yeah, it works. It works. I've seen some goalies have problems having the hand that mm-hmm. high. In that when they shoot or when the shot comes at them, like their first reaction is to kind of bring the hand in, you know? And if that's the case, then I say like, put the hand there to start with, because you're mm-hmm. that's where it wants to go. And then from there you can attack the ball, but
yeah,
a lot of different ways to play. And if you feel more comfortable that way, do it. Right.
Right. Yeah. That kind of reminds me, I used to actually struggle with that, big time. I used to just always bring in my hand. So I think that honestly, now I'm thinking about it now, that could have been part of the reason why I started to put that higher. Yeah. It's a great point right there.
There you go. Learn something new. Maybe.
Yep. Yeah. I never noticed that. There you go.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So you have some, I imagine you start, you know, at some point you're like, man, I'm pretty good at making saves. When did mm-hmm. you first start thinking about playing Division I lacrosse?
It's always been kind of a dream of mine in the back of my head, but I never really came serious about it until honestly, probably late sophomore year, early junior year. I kind of had a pretty decent season sophomore spring to junior summer. I started, you know, playing pretty well against some top competition. And I just kind of realized like, hey, like this seems pretty cool. Like I never really thought I had that big of a chance at playing, or part of me didn't really know if it was what I wanted to do. But once I started kind of playing well against this kind of competition, I was like, hey, this is fun. Like I want to try and do the next level. And once the kind of recruiting process came around and coach started reaching out, I was like, wow, I mean, I guess I can play at this level. So might as well try and make it. And kind of from there, I really fell in love with the game and I just wanted to be best I could be and make it as high as I could.
Yeah. So how did you get on those coaches' radars? Did you make videos and start contacting them, or was it just you were playing good at the right time and they saw you and kind of the attention kind of came, found you?
Yeah. It's hard to say. I did blast out like a ton of coaches right when September 1st came around. I sent to pretty much every D1 school I was someone interested in. I sent a big paragraph. Oh, my name's Nate Randall, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that really worked out too well for me. I think kind of what caught their attention was, I guess, just play at tournaments, which I never realized at the time it was so huge, but it really was. I think pretty much all the schools that contacted me were people that came and saw me play live in tournaments. So yeah, I think that, and then from there, when they contacted me, I would, you know, talk to them for a bit and send them my highlights. And
yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of why I caught their attention, I believe.
Did you know that they were at those tournaments, those coaches?
Not really. You kind of know, like there are coaches there. Like you look at the sideline, you see a lot of schools, but yeah, a lot of the schools that kind of contacted me were never really like on my radar that much. Didn't really know too much about them. And yeah, I just probably happened to have a hot game then. And
yeah,
happened to see me. So
I was going to ask, because sometimes coach players know that coaches are in the stands and watching, yeah, and they put this extra level of pressure
for sure
on themselves. Because, like, I mean, in many cases, it's warranted because, like, that might be their, you know, their one shot,
right,
for the coach to see them, and they put this level of pressure. Did you have to go through any of that? Doesn't sound like.
Yeah, I definitely did. It is big when you're. There are certain games when there's way more coaches than others. I remember there are games when there are, I'd see 40 D1 coaches on the sideline. But I think it's just, you know, concept. It kind of sounds simple. It's a hard thing to come by, but I think just playing your own game, focus on it yourself. Don't try and, you know, buy into all the stuff that, you know, is going on. Oh, if I make this save, you know, this coach is going to, you know, be impressed by me. Or if I let in, you know, three or four goals in a row, he's going to take me off the list. I think just kind of focusing on not the big picture, but just focusing on the next play, and also not really focusing on the, you know, how many saves you have or what your save percentage is. But I think a lot of the huge thing is what they're looking at is your clearing, your communication, your confidence. Like, if you get scored on, I struggle with this hugely throughout the recruiting process, but and throughout my life in general, but just kind of like tapping the post after a letting a bad goal or, you know, poor body language, that just instantly will turn off a coach and have move on to the next guy. But I think just, you know, remaining cool headed and showing that you have that mentality to make the next play and just prove your confidence in them is, you know, really important.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you do that, you start just playing better. So it's a hard thing to deal with. I mean, I dealt with it all my life and I still do, but I think that's really important to work on and show to coaches.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Any display of poor body language. I mean, not only does it just crush your team, right? Because they're looking at you and they're like, oh man, if this guy is pissed and he doesn't believe in that we can come back and win or whatever, then like, why should I? Anyway, right. any display of poor body language, yeah, for a coach is like, that's it.
You know? Right.
So
yeah.
Well, cool. So you know, what was it about Robert Morris that caught your attention?
Yeah, so pretty much I knew someone from Brother Rice named James, and he went there 4 years ago. So he graduated the year before I came. I was kind of the back of my radar, but Coach McMinn at the time was the coach. He reached out to me and I went down and visited, and I just kind of fell in love with it. It was love the campus. And kind of the main thing I fell in love with is the culture and the team, which is something you often forget about, like, don't really focus too much on the recruiting process. Sometimes people are like, oh, I want to go to, you know, biggest name possible or whatever. But I had him, James Skane, kind of talk to me about the brotherhood and the culture. And that was like kind of a huge selling point for me. I was like, he was like, everyone, you know, treats each other as a family. Like, there's no hierarchy, or, you know, freshman getting treated terrible. And I kind of just really believed it. And I really got to experience it this year. It was an unbelievable experience. So that was kind of a huge thing for me, probably the biggest factor, just the culture and team, and which is really the most important thing kind of to look at when you're choosing a college, which is something I never really noticed going throughout the recruiting process. But another thing is, you know, great lacrosse program, not too far from home. Yeah, I just thought it was the right fit for me. It just kind of felt right too. It wasn't anything like it. Just when I was walking around campus, I was like, yeah, it's the place I want to be. Like, mm-hmm. I committed, you know, about a week later and super happy about it. You know, wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So,
yeah. I mean, that the culture is incredibly important. It sounded like you learned it from alumni.
Yeah.
That, you know, went to your high school as well. How do you, what would you recommend a young goalie, you know, 17, 18, kind of going through the process, how could they learn the team culture?
Yeah. I mean, you mean like as for like recruiting, like,
yeah. If you're like a junior
figuring out schools.
Yeah. If you're a junior and you're like, all right, I'm going to go visit Robert Morris this weekend. You know, are you talking to the coach? Is it certain questions you're asking? Is it just being there?
Yeah, I think that's a mixture of both. Because of COVID, unfortunately, I didn't get to do it like an overnight or meet anyone on the team. So it was kind of a shot in the dark, kind of trust his word. But I feel like the biggest thing for someone who's 17, 18, going through the recruiting process, trying to figure out the culture of a school, is honestly try and figure out like try and get with the guys as much as possible. Try and, you know, if try and go when there's like a practice going on, or if try and do an overnight, is try and kind of figure out how kind of the guys are. And yeah, just it's partially the coaches. You know, all the coaches are going to say that they have a great culture. I mean, it's just part of their job. It's what they have to do. But I think just really trying to experience as much time as possible with the guys and the team. And that's kind of, you kind of figure out, you know, what kind of personality these guys are and how, you know, how you fit in well with them and how they treat you. And you can kind of just tell a lot just from meeting someone, if they're kind of extra outgoing, yeah, super nice to you. And just, we just get along well and everything clicks. I think that's kind of your go-to. That's good, good team, good place you want to be.
Yeah. You mentioned they treat the freshmen really well. What, they're not making you guys do anything? Like, you don't have to do the ball hunts or
I mean, yeah, maybe little stuff like that, but there's nothing like no hazing, you know, oh, you're a freshman. Like, you don't get a voice, nothing like that. But yeah, there's probably little things going around. Trying to think of it. Yeah. Like, no, everyone ball hunts together. That's kind of a given.
They don't even do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't think there's really much. I mean,
no,
I didn't feel like when I was like coming into this program, like playing this year, I didn't feel like I was a freshman. Like I felt the same age as even the fifth year guys, which I think is something that's truly special. I don't think really another program in the country that really does that, which I've heard, you know, some stories about other programs that, you know, where it's not the same, but yeah, it was pretty unreal.
I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what,
it's our turn to treat the other freshmen that well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we did at Cal. By the way, this was like, this would be 1999. So they don't do it. They don't do it anymore. It was a little bit more rookie haircuts. So the seniors got to basically pick one of the rookies and give them a haircut any way they wanted. Okay. Right. And you had to wear that haircut for a week around campus, around class. So you had guys with the Monty Burns where they're kind of like basically like shave you bald, you know?
Yeah.
You had the the ring. Anyway, so I like back
reverse
in that
mullet.
Yeah, the reverse mullet. I kind of had like hair kind of your length, where like back in that day, it was like in the 90s, it was like the Backstreet Boys curtains, where like you'd part it down the middle and it was like real long. And so like, yeah, I had like a fresh palette to go in there. And then they just left little chunks of that. And luckily, this is Berkeley, so like there was a lot a lot of weird looking people walking around campus. Right. So you know, you didn't stick out that much, but it was pretty funny.
That makes me a lot more happy about my situation. And nothing like that. I couldn't imagine walking around with a big batch of hair around.
Right, I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So you get there. Bobby Moe, by the way, is what they go by. You guys call it that as well?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, Bobby Moe,
kind of nickname for the school.
Yeah, I love it. Did your goalie game change when you get there?
Yeah, drastically. Fortunately, we had Chris Aline, who's our assistant coach now. He came over from, I think he's just then NGIT. He's our like goalie D coach, helped me out drastically. And our head coach, Coach Mac, he knows the game very well. I believe he coached goalies over at UMass. So I had two guys kind of constantly nipping, you know, nagging at me, telling me what to do. And both very knowledgeable of the game and completely changed my game. Like, I believe I've been a completely different goalie after going through those practices and being in a year with them. So yeah, it's another huge plus of being there.
That's awesome. Chris Aline. I didn't realize he was coaching there.
No, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. I had him on the podcast. He's presented at the goalie summit. Yeah.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He played at Rutgers. Right.
Yep.
Awesome guy. Yeah. He talked about, he gave this great presentation, on the mental aspects.
Yeah.
Of being a goalie.
Exactly. A lot of not 90%, but a huge thing he helped me out with is mental. Like, he helped me out, you know, a lot of technique stuff, but I would meet with him, you know, all the time. He would tell me just like a little mental, that's one of the biggest areas I struggle in, is kind of the mental game. And yeah, he's helped me out drastically because, you know, he said he went through it too and very similar to me. But yeah, he was very knowledgeable about that.
Let's talk about that a little bit, the mental game. Mm-hmm. What lessons stick out for you that he has taught you?
Yeah, I think it's pretty basic you know, it's nothing groundbreaking, but just not getting down on myself. I'm a kind of a guy who gets on himself easily. If I let in a few goals, I'll kind of just collapse. But yeah, he's really taught me just to stay focused and just kind of really trust who you are and all the work you put in. And yeah, just also, yeah, mainly just that and kind of forgetting about the overall picture. And just, you really taught me to kind of break down the game into chunks instead of focusing on my overall, you know, stats and how I'm doing. Like, oh, this game, I'm, you know, 30%, you pick it up. He's like, just focus on first 5 minutes of the first quarter, focus on all you can do there. Then that's past you. Then focus on the next 5 minutes of that quarter. That's all you can do. Focus on all those shots. And it's passive. He just really taught me to kind of focus in the small increments and also really just resetting myself, you know, whether a goal gets in. He was like, just reset yourself, get prepared for the next one. And if I make a save, reset yourself, you know, clear it from your mind, get ready for the next one. And that's just really, yeah, he just kept drilling in, you know, pretty much just basic stuff like that, that I almost kind of already knew to myself, but just kind of reiterating all that stuff really helped me a lot.
Yeah, well, that's super important. It's like, it's one of those things where even if you do know it, you know, when you're in the heat of the battle, it's right. You can forget it so easily. And so right. Having yeah. someone who's positive and just constantly letting you know that you got this is very helpful.
Right. Yeah. That was a huge thing that he did, because, you know, I think every goalie knows that. Every goalie knows that you're supposed to have, you know, a short memory, but it's hard to really put into practice when you got somebody who went through the same thing as you and, you know, who really knows the position well, it's, you know, constantly telling you that. It's pretty easy to get in your mind and really, really believe in it.
Yeah. What you mentioned kind of resetting, is there like a specific routine that you go through to reset, or how do you reset?
It's actually very interesting for me. So for me, I'm a Christian, so not to preach on you or anything, but I try and value my relationship with God, and I really just try and play for him. So for me, what I do is, you know, I kind of just talk to him and pray throughout what I'm doing. So after I make a save, run a goal, I'm like, Lord, just reset me. Like, allow me to focus on the next one. Like, I think I just really, there's many different ways you can do this. For me, it's, you know, using my faith to do it. But I think for, you know, and other goalies, I think it's just taking your mind off it. The thing I used to do too is kind of think about like your senses and your surroundings, and just try and get your mind away from all the pressure you're dealing with. Like, I heard a tip where I was like, one of the five senses, like, think of something you can smell, you can feel, you can taste, you can touch. Like, there's a lot of weird little tips like that, that just really gets your mind out of it. And instead of just focusing on, you know, exactly how you're doing, I think it's whatever way possible you can just try and get your mind not on those shots and, you know, how you're doing, but just really just understand it's just a game and you're just, you know, having fun. And that's really all it is. And it's not to make it more complicated than you really need to be. So yeah. It's just kind of finding that, yeah, whatever gets you to kind of snap back into reality and realize it's just a game.
So interesting. Yeah. I mean, I imagine there's a large, maybe not large, but, you know, a strong contingent of listeners that have a strong faith that are also lacrosse goalies.
Right.
And that's a cool little way that you do it. And what mm-hmm. does that do for you when you say, you know, God, please reset me? You know, it kind of changes your thought, kind of calms you down.
Right. Yeah. It really reminds me that there's a greater picture than me. It's not, I'm not saying, hey, God, let me make the next save. It doesn't really work like that. It's more just a, hey God, remind me that I'm playing for a bigger thing. You know, as much as, you know, the game's important, as much as, you know, I want to win and do well, remind me that you have me here for a reason. Like, this is all for you. This isn't for, you know, me or anything, but just remind me that you're more important and there's greater things out there. So I think that's kind of what I would tell other goalies that are kind of in similar faith as me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. That's awesome. So you get there and you're getting starts right away. I mean, that's got to be somewhat of a surprising experience, right? Because most of the times freshmen don't start. Talk to me a little bit about the process of how that came to be.
Yeah, it was always a dream of mine. I always thought I could start, but I didn't really ever expect to start. And throughout the fall, I mean, honestly, I don't think any of us had any idea what the lineup was. We just all kind of all five, either five of us, we had five goalies at the time.
Wow.
We were always battling every single day at practice throughout the fall and off throughout the off season, you know, nothing was really given. And yeah, we just kept fighting. We didn't really know where we were at. And about a week before our first game, our coach told us that our junior goalie at the time, Liam Rosenthal, was going to start for our first game against Duke. So then, you know, at the time I was like, oh, like, you know, whatever, like just a freshman. But I really, like, there's a kind of a fire inside me that I was like, I want to prove myself. I want to be the guy. So I didn't really kind of hang my head on it. And I just kind of kept fighting. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Like, it's kind of, it's crazy. The future, you never know where you are. In the lineup. So I just kind of kept fighting and kept waiting for my opportunity. I didn't know if I was be the number five guy in the roster or the number one guy or number two guy. So I just kept fighting and kept doing my own thing and used his motivation to work hard, and, you know, kind of ended up working out for the better.
Yeah. So did they, was it, do you guys have, like, you have five goalies, which is a lot of goalies, by the way. Next question I'm going to ask is how you deal with that. But was it like, did you have it like seated like they do in football? Like I'm the two, there's the three, there's a four. No, just a starter.
That's the funny thing is after they listed the starter, they're just like, yeah, you're starting, and didn't really say anything else. I had no idea where I was. I didn't know if I was the fifth guy or the second guy. So
yeah,
I had no idea. It was just kind of I just didn't really try and let it affect me or bother me. But even, you know, during our first game, when at the end I got in, I had no idea I was even the second guy. I thought it was probably the, you know, fifth, third, or fourth.
Yeah, interesting.
Until they called my name and I was like, oh, I'm the second guy. But it just really goes to show that you don't know what's going to happen. Like, that's why you should always be prepared for, you know, kind of any moment.
Yeah. I like how you use that, you know, finding out that you're not the starter as motivation too. I mean, it can send a lot of goalies into a spiral.
Right.
I know that because a lot of goalies have emailed me in that spiral and been like, I wanted to be the starter and I'm not. And so, you know, hearing this experience is great because it's like, you know, sometimes things don't go your way. And how are you going to react, right? How are you going to react? Exactly. Negatively, go down in that spiral, or are you going to use this as fuel and motivation?
Exactly.
To get out there and work harder and get back to the top.
Yep.
To you, right? So then I was going to say, in that game, you got minutes. So they're just like, Nate, you're in.
Yeah, it was a pretty funny story. At halftime, they started warming up our starting goalie that was in. He was getting shots. And then started warming up our grad year, Ben Savick at the time. It was just them two. And then they were like, all right, get, you know, warmed up or whatever. And they didn't really say anything to me. So I was like, yeah, there's, you know, I'm not getting in, like, whatever. No big deal. Like, just try to keep doing my thing. My chance will come eventually. And yeah, funny mid game, my coach started kind of yelling at me. He's like, Randall. Or I was like, yeah, what's up? I thought he was like asking me to get like a clipboard or water bottle for him. He's like, get in there. I was like, me? Really? So I kind of got thrown in there dry. Yeah, I was kind of shocked the whole time. I wasn't really thinking, but yeah, it really kind of caught me. But at the same time, there's kind of something in me that was like, you know, you never don't like clock out of the game completely because you never know what's going to happen. Like, I didn't know officially where I was on the roster, but I was like, you know, I'm going to be prepared for my moment. If my name gets called, I'll be ready for it. So yeah, I was kind of taken by surprise, but at the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? I've been dreaming of this moment. My coach had me in here for a reason. So I got to trust in them and trust in myself.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you're training for that moment. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you go in there and you give up, you know, six goals and make no saves and you're just not ready for it, then guess what? Like, there it goes. Yeah, like sometimes you're only going to get that one opportunity.
Right.
And you, it looks like you made four saves, one against. So like you took advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Love it, man.
So, tried the best I could.
Yeah. So it makes sense now. You have one I was going to say you have five goalies, which is a lot of goalies, but I guess
we had
one goalie who was a grad year, and then every single year you had a goalie.
We actually had six in the beginning of the year, but funny story, our sophomore goalie. So yeah, we had one in every single grade, and we had two seniors, but our sophomore goalie actually switched to D-Middy. He's athletic kid. He plays box in the summer, but he was just like, yeah, I think there's too many goalies on this team. You know, I mean, I can get minutes at D Mitty, and he did yeah. really well. He was playing for us like in, you know, big games. So
So
we had six in the game a year, and then about a couple of weeks in, we had five. But yeah, we had me as a freshman, a junior, two seniors, and a grad year.
Yeah. Did you ever find, like, during practice, I mean, that's a lot of, reps to share.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys do it? Like, how did you go about sharing that many reps with that many goalies?
Yeah. It was difficult. Like, warm-ups would be tough because we would have, you know, five guys trying to get warmed up on one net. So
right.
we would take about, you know, five to 10 shots each spot and then switch, but it really made it really competitive in warmups, which is kind of ended up helping out for the better. Is when I would see other guys, you know, doing better than me, I would be like, oh wow, like I need to get on my game and, you know, try and out compete them and try and just make more saves than them, which it was really competitive atmosphere having that many goalies. But throughout practice, it kind of worked out for the better because there's always, at one point, I feel like there was one goalie out for whatever reason, like either they have class or injured or whatever it may be. I feel like there were practices where we had two, three goalies just because we had, you know, kids injured at class. But yeah, so if we had four goalies, we'd usually have like red and white teams and we'd have two on each team. We'd split quarters and drills and stuff, but yeah, it was kind of took away some of the reps, but we kind of made it happen just by splitting and, you know, probably didn't get as many reps as I would two, three goalies, but kind of worked out for the better. I feel like it almost liked it more because the competitive atmosphere. I feel like having, you know, two guys, it's less competitive. Having five guys, you know, it really makes you have to really earn your spot.
It's a good point. Yeah. I've heard that before. Someone on the podcast mentioned that exact same point about the years that they've had, that they've been the best, they had four goalies on the mm-hmm. team in the goalie unit. And the years that they were the worst, they had one other guy
yeah.
that they were beating out. And it was like, yeah. oh, well, I'm much better than him. Clearly. Yeah. Right. So like my job's not at stake. And just exactly. mentally, you don't show up every single day and push yourself as hard as you can.
Right. Yeah. There were different. Yeah. Having five different goalies. I mean, it was anyone's day, whoever was hot that day, you know, it would yeah, really change out. So,
yeah. So,
yeah,
and then it looks like later in the season, you and Ben mm-hmm. were splitting halves. Yeah.
We were. I believe I played like 3-4 full games by myself. And I really, I don't know if you knew about this, but I grew up my entire life splitting halves with, right now he's at Canisius. His name's Tommy Coons. Also a freshman, went to the same high school, same club teams. Split halves literally all my life. Always played the first half. So I just got really used to that. And I think my coaches kind of realized that. Like I think they're just like, hey, we got, you know, Ben's playing really well. Like, might as well have you two play. Like, and I'm, you know, might as well have two. If you have two goalies that are playing well, might as well play both of them instead of having one who, you know, could get shelled and, you know, have a bad day or get tired or get worn out. I think it's, you know, having two fresh goalies is kind of what they thought would be better. When they told me that, I was, at first I was a little bummed. I was like, oh, I got, you know, demoted and whatever. But then I kind of came to realize, I was like, this is what I'm used to. This is what I'm used to playing like this all my life. I'm ready. This is nothing new to me. So it really worked out. It took a lot of pressure off me. I thought,
yeah,
well, I'm used to focus on one half and, you know, the first half, do everything I can to help out my team and, you know, focus on myself and making saves, and second half just getting rowdy on the bench, you know, cheering on him and all the other guys on the team. So it really kind of worked out for the better. I thought, you know, obviously still want to be a full-time starter, but you know, it's one of those things that you can't, you know, stuff happens and you just gotta, you know, deal with it and make the most of your situation.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't know you split halves in high school. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. How did you go about picking the first half as opposed to the second half?
I don't know, honestly. I feel like statistically, a lot of times I would do better in the second half, which is weird. But I think just a lot of times I would just like kind of starting out the game and just getting the nerves out. And yeah, it was, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but I just kind of started playing halves. I think, you know, coaches early on were like, all right, you're playing first half, you know, Tommy's playing second half. So just kind of became embedded in me. I'm like, oh, I'm the first half goalie. Mm-hmm. I just need to. So I think it just kind of stuck with me, became routine. And I don't really like sitting around on the sideline for the first half, getting jittery. And, you know, if a lot more pressure too, I feel like first half, you know, you get a little less pressure, but I feel like the shots are a little harder because, you know, defense can be sometimes out of control and, you know, trying to figure out people. But yeah, I just really liked the first half. I don't know what it was about it. It was just a little less pressuring. You know, I could kind of dictate more how the game was going for my team. You know, if I had a lights out quarter and we had a pretty good lead on them, that means the second half would just be much easier for, you know, our team to win. Mm.
Was there ever a situation where you're playing the first half and you're like saving it at 75%, 80%, and you're just like, coach, I'm on, man. Keep me in there. Or no, it's just always switching it up.
Yeah. I feel like our coaches kind of really saw us evenly. So I think it could be anyone's day. Like I could have been, you know, super hot in the first half and had a terrible second half. Like something that just happened. So I think, maybe when I was really little early on, there might've been a couple games where they're like, yeah, he's not lending anything. Like just leave him in there. But I think a lot of times they would, even if I was lights out saving everything, they want to give him a shot. Cause who knows, he could have saved even more, or who knows, I could have gotten worse, you know, and gotten too, you know, arrogant and start letting more goals. So
it's true.
Yeah. I don't think it really happened too much. It was more, they just want to give us both an equal opportunity. And I think there were a few times where if I had a first half and, you know, he started letting in, you know, some goals, they threw me in, and, you know, vice versa. But I haven't, probably a few times, but not too many.
Yeah. So you were the first half goalie, which is essentially like, I mean, I guess the prep is essentially like being, you know, the full starter for the entire game, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to Ben? Like, do you have any tips for a second half goalie? Cause it's not something like splitting halves, like is something that a lot of young kids do. And I haven't talked about it much on this show. So any tips for the second half goalies?
Yeah. So another reason I do like playing first half is you get to come off a hot warm up and, you know, get to play, you know, right away. But yeah, I would say just staying loose. I was pretty obvious, but getting shots at half, like you want to get the, you know, full goalie warm up as the first half goalie does, you know, before your game. But I think while you're on the sideline watching that goalie play, is really watch the shooter's tendencies, like see what kind of guys there are, they have, see where they're, don't focus too much on where they're shooting, but kind of just figure out what kind of players there are, and just kind of watching the game and realizing like, okay, like this is kind of the flow, like this is what they kind of like to do. And then once your time comes, I think just realizing, you're like, all right, well, first half goal, you know, you played well, made some good saves, and now it's my turn. So getting some shots at half, and then yeah, just coming right in there. I think, you know, getting as many shots, even, you know, during the game too, if you really want, you can kind of get some at the sideline, stay hot. But yeah, I think just getting shots right before half and just, you know, trying coming in there, and it's realize half an hour is not that much. You're not going to get cold. If you have, you know, when you warm up and you don't play for a half hour, it's not like you're going to, like, you're still pretty warm. I think it's more of a mental thing at that point, and just recognizing that, you know, it's just a 30 minute break and now it's my turn. And that's my turn to kind of steal the game.
Yeah. 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 That's what I've heard too. And just, yeah, like first half, you got to stay in it mentally. And I would even, I've done this, I've split halves, and I would even, you know, when the shots would come, like it's not like I'm making the save with my body on the sideline, but I'm, you know, visualizing myself making that exact save. So I'm staying in the game.
Right.
And in many ways, like there's less pressure, I think. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of pressure at the start of the game. And then by the time you get into the second half, like the game's already flowing, like you've already got
it's a mixture of both.
Yeah.
When you're playing in the fourth quarter and it's tied, it's a lot more pressure. But a lot of times
that's true.
When the game comes on, it's like, yeah, you kind of, all the jitters kind of calm down, your defense isn't as jittery. So I think it's a fair trade-off, honestly, on pressure. I think, yeah, the second half goalies, yeah, you get more feel for the game, which ends up trading off because you got to deal with those overtime games and those tied games in the fourth quarter. But yeah,
that's true. That's, I think, a lot of pressure.
It's a great point. It kind of evens out.
Yeah. Well, awesome, man. What about going through a slump? Was there a time in your career that you went through a slump? And if so, how do you go about getting out of that?
I feel like there were a lot of mini slumps I went through. You know, just like any goalie, I kind of just, you know, growing up, it's pretty normal to have tournaments where I just wasn't hot, but kind of a biggest slump I had, honestly, was probably senior year of high school. I really don't know what it was, to be honest. I just wasn't really seeing it how I normally was. So I think I got super frustrated. I remember after like games, I'll come home and just be so mad at myself and I'd be like, what's going on? But all I did was just every single time I'd have a bad game, I'd go out and, you know, hit the wall for a half hour, go get shots after. And I think just like, it's not getting out of a slump. Isn't an instant thing. It's not like I'm going to, you know, go get shots after a game and the next day I'm gonna be lights out. It's just, you got to keep working hard at it. And it sounds, you know, basic and simple, but like, you just got to keep working at, you know, your game and realize that's all mental. Like it's not anything really physical that's going on. It's not like you're physically changing or physically getting worse. It's more in your mind. So I think just keep getting better. And if you don't, you know, see yourself instantly progressing, don't get down on yourself. Just realize that it's natural and it's all mental. And then, yeah, just kind of, you know, think about the mental tips that I was kind of talking about earlier. Just slow the game down a bit, just enjoy it. And instead of thinking about it a million miles an hour and just reset yourself after every game and realizing that slumps are natural too. And you're just going to get yourself out of it with hard work and just really slowing the game down and, you know, just really enjoying it. But yeah.
There you go. Love it. Love it, man. Well, Nate, thanks for coming on the show. You guys had a great season. Great season. Conference champs.
We were.
Congratulations on that. And then that gives you a little taste of your first taste of the NCAA tournament, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
How was that? A lot of extra nerves, or by that point?
At that point, I was pretty, I feel like my nerves were all dead just playing in the, you know, starting as freshman and taking on that task and then playing in the ASUN championship. And at that point it was kind of routine for me. It was honestly really not my best game. I wasn't really seeing it, just not really there mentally for whatever reason, just wasn't hot. But yeah, it wasn't, yeah, as much nerves. I just kind of got over those nerves, but next time, you know, try and make a little further and further each year and keep kind of building on ourselves as a program.
There you go.
Well, we've got more work to do.
If you make it one round further each year by your senior year, you're national champs.
We will. That's the goal right there.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Nate, thanks so much, man. What,
of course.
What stick setup are you going with?
Interesting question. I've always used the Eclipse 2 all my life, or until it came out. I kind of bounced around between heads, but yeah, I've been using the Eclipse 2 the past probably 3-4 years, Hero Mesh. But actually about 2 hours ago, I went out and bought the new East Coast Dyes head. So
you did.
I'm gonna try that out. So that's kind of that head new head I'm gonna start rocking. And for shaft, I use an attack length. We were sponsored by Maverick last year, so I used like a mission blank, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Attack length, and you rock usually 2 U's for my shooters and a nylon. Just kind of what I've always done, and you know, I don't fix if it's not broken. It's always kind of worked for me. So
yeah. Do you string up your own heads?
No, I don't.
Okay. Someone else.
I've always tried to find a guy on my team. I had one of my best friends back in high school did it for me. And then once I got out of college, one of my other good friends as a freshman, he was doing it for me and worked out really well. So yeah, never really learned how to string it. Tried it. It's just, I think it's beyond me mentally.
Same. You know,
my friends can do it. Then why learn to do it myself?
Same here. Yeah. I'm not a great stringer. I got an ACD Impact head as well. So
I haven't tried it out yet.
Neither.
Neither me.
No. It's getting strung up now, and they're going to send it to me. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm excited to use it.
Yeah. Maybe I mean, they're a great company in terms of lacrosse products. So I'm excited. Right. Yeah.
I've been waiting for that for years now. I remember like, when's East Coast Dads make a goalie head?
Right.
Finally, pretty excited to try it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you guys are sponsored by Maverick. So do you have Maverick Maxes? Or gloves?
We did last year. Very, very protective. I love them. I broke my thumb with our old gloves. We had the Gate ones, I think. Well, for the fall, is with the ones we used last spring. But yeah, the new Maverick Maxes are awesome. They're my favorite goalie glove I've ever used. It's like a big metal dome in there. I've gotten hit in the thumb multiple times. Didn't really feel much. So yeah, my It's what we're rocking with.
Yeah, those thumbs are really good. I think I like the, I don't know if you use the Nike gloves, the Vapors.
I haven't tried it out yet.
But it, like those two to me are like the best. Still, the lacrosse thumb protection is not like, I know goalies who've injured their thumbs and both of those gloves. So it's like,
a lot of it is
randomness, you know?
It is. It's a huge, huge thing. Problem with cross goalie community. Me and my athletic trainer joke about it all the time.
Yeah. What's the worst place for you to get hit that you hate getting hit?
Probably the cup, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, probably. I got hit there in the spring and I was out for luckily only a day, but that's probably my biggest, because every single time I get hit there, I'm afraid to get in the net again.
Yeah, it takes away your confidence.
I would say probably cup and thumb, because I broke my thumb a few times. Those are not the fun spots.
Cup and thumb. All right. Stop shooting at the cup and thumb, guys.
Yeah. or just save it my stick.
What kind of cup do you wear?
I wear a hockey goalie cup.
I was gonna say.
I started using two cups.
The double.
Our Liam Rosenthal, our junior incoming senior goalie, he kind of put me on it after I got hit there. He was like, "Hey, just put another cup on." I was like, "Really? It's uncomfortable." But once I played in a few practices, it became kind of natural, and I feel like it's helped out a lot.
So you got the ice hockey one is one cup, mm-hmm. and then like the second one is just like a bikey or whatever, like a McDavid.
It's like a shock doctor, whatever.
Shock doctor, I
put that one like inside it, and
that one goes on first.
No, that one goes on first, and then I put the hockey one, has another cup in it, over
right,
it.
Right.
So
that's a three cup system.
Pretty much
right
three
there.
Cups, yeah. Right. I guess if you think about it, yeah.
Well, as someone who hates getting hit in the groin like you, the three cup system, there you go.
Should try it. Yeah.
Beauty. I love it, man. Nate, if you had to leave the goalies out there with one final piece of advice, what would that be?
I would just say, just keep working hard. It's like super cliche, but just find as many reps as possible. That's really what's going to differentiate. You're going to have slumps. You're going to have, ups and downs throughout your career. But if you just keep, being persistent in your work and not letting too much pressure, anything get to you mentally, I think just outworking whoever you can and just really work on your mental game and realizing that mental game is probably, I think, like 95% of the whole goalie position is just mentally and how you're talking to yourself and, all the negative, positive things you're saying to yourself. Just really watch that and just reps, as many reps as possible. Always stay after practice, getting extra shots. Like, it's just going to pay out in the long run. It's going to really, boost your confidence, boost your skill, boost everything. So that's kind of what I would like to say to them.
All right, man. Very well said.
Keep working at your dreams. Yep.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Damon. Appreciate it.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. That was Bobby Moe, Robert Morris University goalie Nate Randall. Awesome to hear that young man talk. Awesome to hear about his freshman season, earning the starting role as a freshman, how he ended up at Robert Morris University, and also his strategy, of using his faith to keep calm in goal. It's not something that I've discussed all that much on the podcast, but I know for a lot of goalies out there, for a large fraction of the lacrosse goalie community, that can be a very strong resource to lean on, to be calm when you're giving up goals, when things are going haywire. So that'll do it this week. Hope you enjoyed that episode. If you want to get lacrosse goalie training from some of the best coaches out there, I recommend you head on over to goaliesummit.com. You can grab all the replays of over 110, I think it's 111 sessions total. Unbelievable sessions from the best goalies, the best coaches in our sport, in an amazing, amazing format. They're giving you the goods right there to your computer screen. You can learn at home, learn some drills, go out to the field, and use exactly what you learn. And not only that, use the motivation that you get from watching these guys pump you up. All right, head on over to goaliesummit.com. Check that out. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.